Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Wow!
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined by top London radio DJ and self-professed Japanophile, Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you?
I'm good. I'm still wearing my sunglasses because it is... Oh, it's lovely outside at the moment. We've had some miserable weather here in London, but it's nice. It's pleasant outside. More importantly, is your desk, Chris Broad? Because last time we spoke, you were waxing lyrical about how lovely your new desk is. Is it still together? Because, you know, are you a good DIY kind of guy?
I'm the sort of person who screws things together and then about a month later, the screws come undone, which sounds like an analogy for life itself or my mental state. But no, the desk's holding together well this time.
Nice.
It's very exciting.
Is it earthquake-proof?
And I'm enjoying, well, that we will find out soon. You know what? Last year, I don't think I've had like any earthquakes at all. Like, when I first moved to Sendai, it was an earthquake every week. Mm. And now there's nothing. Not for 6 months.
Not a peep. So
I wonder why that is.
Two words for you. Earthquake karma. You are
earthquake karma.
You're the earthquake whisperer. That's the situation, Chris. You arrive on a piece of land and the earth goes, everything is calm, everything is peaceful, Chris is here, everything's going to be fine.
Maybe it's because it's my birthday. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Chris!
Generous. Yes, 28 years old.
28.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but I thought might as well. Don't know. 28 years old isn't a number I'm particularly excited about. Kind of, I don't know about you, but after I passed 26, I kind of started feeling like I was on a conveyor belt going towards nothingness that I can't escape.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like that the last 2 years. So whenever I get older, I'm like, oh, not again. It used to be like, yes, getting older, I'm going to be an adult. I can do things like drink alcohol and fly to places wherever I want and do things. And now it's kind of like, uh-oh, it's not.
Uh-oh.
It's not stopping. I wonder if it kind of stop around the age of 25, 26. That was peak life for me.
I mean, that's not very nice, bearing in mind that I am considerably older than you. So that's not right at all. 28.
Well, no, but how have you handled the aging experience?
Genuinely... I'm still mid-30s, so we can bracket that up. But, I think you are going to have a lovely time in your 30s. Like, my favourite years have been, like, the first 5 years of my 30s, so it's...
Really?
Yeah,
How come?
Well, you just feel like your stuff is together, the career progressed a little bit, and I think also you're in a situation where you sort of know yourself. Use the example, I spoke about this before, but like I was with the JET program, I wanted to go out when I was like 22 when I finished university. But I never did because I was really shy and really sort of reserved and really, I wasn't very forthright about the things I wanted to do in my life. And I made a change about 25, 26 to work in radio. So, it's kind of like, I think your 30s are a lot more fun. Anybody think that their life's over when they hit 30? I don't know.
How do you change from being shy to being, like, so you know, confident and loud and...
Loud.
How do you change your personality?
I think you just get tired of being sheepish and wishy-washy and kind of like scared about what people think. I'm still scared about what people think. I'm still wishy-washy, but I'm just doing it at a slightly louder volume. You just get bored of yourself, don't you? Sort of like, I'll just get it together for crying out loud. And I think you can't always kind of, you know, pull yourself up from the bootstraps, but it certainly helped me sort of going, come on, is this who you want to be for the rest of your life? You've got things to say. You've got opinions. You've got ideas. You told a joke once and it went okay. Get involved, Pete. Get involved.
Did you ever find yourself in a temple in Asia?
Kind of the going, cool thing, yeah, to do, yeah, just sort of sit cross-legged. And have we spoken about like meditating? I always think that I'd probably get something out of that, to be honest. Just having a 5 minutes where I just sit down and just go, oh, just think about things, or just don't think about anything, I think would be really useful for me.
I mean, I did meditate at university for a little bit. I used to go, my university was quite near the White Cliffs of Dover.
Right.
And I would drive down to the White Cliffs of Dover at the base of them and just sit there and meditate. And I'd sit there with the sea coming in from the channel, and it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And then one day a rock fell off the cliff and nearly hit me on the head, and I nearly took me out. So I was like, probably not going to meditate there anymore. And my meditation days ended there and then. I don't do it anymore, really. Not in the cross-legged kind of sense of meditation. But to me, meditation is just about being in the moment.
Yeah.
So often, if I just walk down the street, I try and notice as many things as I can about that street. Because I'm the sort of person that walks down the street 10 times and will just not look at anything. Like, I realised near my apartment block the other day, there is a nice big red house that I walked past maybe 500 times. And I'd never seen it, even though it's but metres from my apartment. And I was kind of annoyed at myself for not looking around. I'm so deep in thought when I'm walking, deep in thought, or anxious about things I've got to do, that I kind of get lost. And, yeah, so for me, meditation is just being present and noticing the world around you.
Massively. And I think in many ways, actually, the architecture in Japan, certainly house-wise, is actually quite interesting because there's so much variation. You'll rarely see, like, a block of... You know, I mean, there'll be blocks of flats and stuff, but, like, if you sort of see a semi-detached house or a detached house in Japan, every second building is of a different construction.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's true. And they're kind of made of prefabricated wood or something. They go up really fast.
Like, yeah.
There's another apartment block just around the corner, and it has gone up in a space of 2 weeks. It was just a bit of field. 2 weeks later, there's a big apartment block with a few dozen apartments in it, just because it's so quick to build things here, because they're not made out of bricks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right about that. So, from going forward, as a 28-year-old guy, I like to be more mindful. I like to be in the moment and be happy, like you.
Whenever I am in Japan, I always try and buy as many birthday cards as I can, like wacky kind of birthday cards. What's that egg character? Is it like a silly egg character that's always kicking
silly
around?
Egg character.
Yeah, it's a silly egg character.
The only silly egg character I know is Fukuppi.
Fukuppi.
Remember the egg mascot for Fukushima Industries?
That's right,
fridge
company. No, it's a different
one. An unfortunate mascot. Yeah. Fukuppi, the happy egg, who sounds like Fukuppi, which isn't appropriate given the name of the company is Fukushima Industries.
No, really not.
Yeah, that's the only egg I know of.
Right. Well, I try and buy some cards like with like weird kind of mascots and all Japanese stuff, and I always come back with some interesting cards. Because that's the thing about Japan, is like there are some products you can't get anywhere else for obvious reasons. If everything's in Japanese, if like greeting cards are all in Japanese, and you're a bit of a deviant like me, it's actually quite a cool little sort of gift. You do see things in department stores and things like that that you don't see anywhere else. And in this global economy, you can buy pretty much everything everywhere nowadays. But very Japanesey kind of products, like greetings cards, are actually quite interesting. They've got a beautiful craft to them. They're relatively inexpensive compared to everywhere else. And yeah, it's just nice to get a birthday card that's just that little bit different. And in Britain, we just have cards with like swear words on it and sort of like you're a dickhead and all this stuff nowadays. That's kind
you're
of
a dickhead.
Honestly,
yes.
That's what kind of what all the cards are about now. A friend's got like a card company. And they just write absolute filth on there. They're really popular because us Brits are abusive whenever we can.
We're horrible people.
The quick bit of vocab. Tanjubi omadetu, is that right for happy birthday?
It is, yes. Tanjobi omedetto, yeah.
Tanjobi.
Tanjobi omedetto.
Ah, okay.
Birthday, right. Congratulations.
Yay!
That's a good word to know, actually. Keep that in your memory bank of many Japanese words that you have.
Omedetto.
Because whenever something good happens to someone, you can just go, oh, omedetto.
Omedetto. Omedetto. Congratulations.
Oh. If they're married, if they've had a baby, if it's their birthday, if they've won the lottery... Omedetto gozaimasu.
Can you
say that and you'll look really nice?
Can you say omedetto gozaimasu if, like, ironically, if someone drops a plate? Oh, well done, mate! You idiot!
You can't. That won't go down well.
Omedetto gozaimasu, baka desu!
You'd look like such a dick if you did that. One thing you learn quickly in Japan is, you know the word baka means
yes,
idiot?
Yes, right.
Baka. For some reason, all foreigners seem to know that word. They love it. I think it's because one of the first things we do is look up the word stupid, and that's the word we see, baka.
Yeah.
And people, I found a lot of foreigners, including myself, often refer to themselves as baka in a kind of self-depreciating way. Mm. It doesn't really work.
Ah.
I don't know why it is.
Is it like, is it an
it's just
insult?
Kind of awkward if you do it.
Right.
Yeah, it's quite a hardcore insult, I think. And like, I found whenever... I used to do it, or people I know doing it to themselves, going, oh, I toted my back at this, being a Muppet. Like, the people around them don't really find it funny, they just look awkward. So I don't ever use that word now.
Oh, so the Japanese are presumably not into self-abuse, which is weird, because I've seen enough Tenga eggs to kill a man in a lot of the shops.
We're not going there.
Not going there.
Yeah. I don't know, I think it's just that word. Because
yeah.
The only way I used to be able to get people to laugh when I was teaching was A, beatboxing, which I've talked about before, and B, self-deprecating humour, where I would kind of say, oh, I'm fat today, ha ha ha, I ate some fried chicken, and everyone would laugh about me talking about my weight or something.
Right, okay.
It works in that way quite well.
Ah,
yes. I still haven't cracked Japanese humour entirely, but those were the two ways... that people can always laugh and smile.
Yeah.
And sarcasm just kind of hits an odd note. It just, as we talked about last week, ambiguity in IMI, this idea of things being ambiguous. With sarcasm, I think it just leads to confusion. People don't know if you're joking, if you're being serious.
Mm.
So I generally avoid it if you get here and you start a job or whatever. Don't do it. Don't be sarcastic.
Don't be sarcastic.
It won't work.
I remember being in Osaka with a friend, and they were doing... Basically, there was this kind of expat comedy night where these kids, presumably from some kind of English teaching programme, put on, like, a comedy night, like a wacky comedy night. Now, I don't know what your Gaijin colleagues were like, Chris, but I was rather underwhelmed with their brand of comedy. My God, it was dreadful.
Oh,
it was all in English, and it was all... I'm not going to say the F word. It was flipping dreadful, Chris. I was embarrassed to be a human at that moment. That said, though, I was also in a bar in Shibuya and very bar-based, all of my stories. This man... And
they
this
are,
man,
aren't they?
Yeah. And the,
with beer somewhere.
First things first, it was quite a small bar and it was like a rock bar and... there were two or three men doing some kind of, I think it was some kind of official slash unofficial air guitar championship. So these guys were like doing loads of air guitar. And then after that, this bloke got up and basically did a one-man show that what he thinks should have happened in a popular anime.
Right.
And it was just a lot of sex, a lot of grot. But it was like, it was like a kind of a kid's anime, but he was trying to zhuzh it up. He was trying to sex it up a little bit, and it was all rather unedifying, to be honest.
With an air guitar?
No, that was after the air guitar. This was the main event, I suppose. But I was asking my friend, I was asking my friend's husband what the hell was going on, and he was like, oh, it's, I'm trying to think of the anime, but it's, some kind of anime I'm really into. But but I was going, why? And he was going, I don't know. I don't know why this man is doing this, but everyone
seemed like
was
an
just...
appropriate response to that.
It went on for such a long time, Chris, and people just were looking away embarrassed. It was wonderful.
If you're in Shibuya and you go in a bar again, or anybody listening who's in Shibuya going in a bar, I find that's where Natsuki always seems to hang out whenever he goes to Tokyo on his own. He always goes to Shibuya and he'll sit in a bar and pick up a guitar and start playing. So if you want to increase your chances of randomly encountering Natsuki, that's the place to be. I was in a bar yesterday or the day before. I don't go into bars as much as you do, Pete, I don't think. I go in a bar maybe once a week. Don't know if that. But I went to this bar in Golden Guy, which is the It's kind of a shack neighbourhood in Shinjuku. I think we talked about it in a previous episode, but it's kind of this little neighbourhood of four or five streets, tiny little bars with seats for up to five or six people. And there's one bar in there that I went to with a friend. It's the second time we've been there. I can't remember the name of it, but you will be able to find it easily. It's kind of a rock, punk rock bar. Mm. It's right in the middle of Golden Guy if you go there. And you go in and there's rock music, punk rock music playing extremely loudly. Heavy metal, like rock music. And in the corner, there is just this doll of Yoda sitting there looking kind of, you know, meditating. And then chained to Yoda's face is a severed leg and a severed hand. A bloodied severed leg and a bloodied severed arm just chained to Yoda's face. And it is the most weird shit I've ever seen. It's so trippy. You're sitting there drinking your drink, looking at Yoda, and he's kind of staring at this. He's just staring out there with this bloody arm dangling off his face. It's so weird. And yet the owner's actually a really nice guy.
Yeah.
You wouldn't necessarily think it, given his somewhat bizarre tendencies, but it's actually one of the best bars in Tokyo, I think. So, in there if you're not too squeamish.
When you see people abusing IP, intellectual property like that, you just think... Was it in the 20s the Yakuza tried to burn down Golden Guy and the residents defended Golden Guy, and that's why it's still standing and why it looks like nothing like it around it in Kabukicho, or it's called.
That's right, yeah.
I do sort of think that maybe it wasn't the worst thing if it did burn down. When you see people putting severed limbs into Yoda's mouth, have some respect, he's the King Jedi.
Not in there, he's not.
No respect for that guy.
Yeah. I think that's the good thing. That's my favourite thing about Golden Eye. Golden Guy.
Love that game.
Golden Eye and Golden Guy. The ultimate experience.
Yes, exactly.
It just feels like a bit of an odd place out, because you're in Shinjuku, you've got skyscraper district, you've got lots of neon lights, and then you've just got this kind of shack town straight out of Fallout. So, yeah, do go there.
Yeah, definitely.
I love talking about Golden Guy, but I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. In our daily lives, we all carry around with us different stressors. They can be big, they can be small, and sometimes we might not even realize that we're carrying them around with us. But if these feelings stay bottled up, they can start to affect us negatively, which is why having a positive outlet for discussion can be such a valuable tool for your well-being. Therapy can be a perfect outlet for your inner stressors. It's a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Sometimes just speaking things out into the open can be such a great release of inner tension, so you can spend less time stressing about the issue and more time figuring out how you can overcome it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Oh. Sweet chocolate.
Wow. Because we've got to move on to some wacky news of the week, Chris.
Yeah, wacky news of the week.
The wackier the better, mate.
This is pretty wacky.
Yeah?
And this has a special place in my heart.
Oh.
It's wacky news of the week. So a few years ago, I made a video, and it was about Japanese porn stars doing this boob-touching charity event where guys could pay, I think, what was it, about $20? $20 or $50, you paid your money to the charity. It's for AIDS research, so noble cause. And it's an event put on by Paradise TV, an adult video portal, right?
Mm.
Which, you know, adult videos there. So you go to this charity event, you go in, and you pay your $20, and then you can squeeze and fondle the breasts of various Japanese porn stars. And last year, 7,000 participants showed up and did this, raising more than 6 million yen. And I covered it in a video 3 years ago, just because I just was so astounded by this concept. I couldn't work out if it was brilliant or kind of creepy and weird.
Well,
but if you see the pictures of it, it is quite creepy and weird.
Yeah.
And yet it's a noble cause. Where does the line begin and end between what you can and can't do for charity?
Yeah.
I think the line probably this is somewhat over the line.
I mean, you do say this story has very close to your heart. I'd be moving a little more south than your heart, to be honest, Chris. I think
I thought that was a joke about the whole breast being close.
Oh,
to
I
the,
guess it is. Yes,
heart,
I suppose
though.
It is. Yes,
doesn't really work though, does it?
No,
mate?
No. I was going mainly for trouser talk, but it's all very unedifying. It's all very.
It is, I unlisted the video recently. I had somebody message me, a few people message me actually over my Facebook page, Born in Japan Facebook page, and they sort of said, oh, like your videos, they're great, whatnot, but this video has ruined my opinion of you, because why would you make this kind of video? And to be fair, I was a bit of a, I do come off as a bit sleazy in my video. I made it like 4 years ago now, actually, and I was kind of desperate for views, and I think the video was called something like the best Japan's greatest charity event ever, and I was like, oh, it's so brilliant, you can fondle and grope people, but really it doesn't stand with my values now. I think it is quite creepy and weird.
Oh mate, I'm so glad that I had very little contact with the internet until, you know, a few years ago, because to be honest, I'm not saying this is a good example of it, but I'm just saying that opinions and situations have changed. Even in the last few years, language has changed in the last few years. So I think anyone who's had a YouTube channel, a YouTube channel for longer than a couple of years, I think, like, you are going to be criticised for things that happened. And bearing in mind, like, how old were you been then? 24? 23?
I would have been 23, 24, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean,
I wanted those views, so I made a video about it. I didn't go there. You don't think I went there, do you? Do I point that out?
Well, no, you didn't point that out.
It sounded like I went there. No, to be clear, I didn't go there. I just talked about it in the video and showed clips of it.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Amazing.
I did not fondle 8 porn stars' breasts for charity. But the reason it's come up again is 9,000 people signed this change.org petition to cancel the event.
Yes.
Because they think it's horrible. And it is kind of, I mean, it is, isn't it? Let's face it. So they've now actually changed it. And this year, they've got 3 guys doing it, which doesn't, I don't know if that works or not, but you've got 3 porn stars who are guys and 2 porn stars that are women. And so you can touch guys and women, which,
I mean, it levels the playing field
right
somewhat.
Now, so.
But will the main porn stars have, be quite muscular? Will they have a lot of kinnikoo?
I think so.
Right.
I don't know. I dare look the names up, but
yeah, it's
hopefully they'll still raise something for charity.
Yeah, but, exactly. I mean, there are other ways to raise money for charity, for crying out loud. I mean,
I know, right? It does seem a bit desperate, and it raised $58,000 last year. Is that a good amount? I suppose it is.
I don't know how far that goes for research in Japan, to be honest. But is there a whole other podcast?
effective spending on AIDS research in Japan.
I think Japanese kind of STDs are going up from what I've been reading. Like, but it's not generally AIDS, and they do see it as a non-Japanese problem. And from what I've heard. Mm. Certainly not from first-hand experience, but from what I've heard, protection isn't used a whole bunch. People don't usually like them. To which I say, get yourself to Harajuku and Condom Mania and pick up some goddamn prophylactics.
I walked past that the other day, Condom Mania, the condom store in the heart of Harajuku at the crossing where millions of tourists pass through every week. But drop in there.
Yeah.
Don't get AIDS. Go to Condom Mania.
There we go. That's all you need. That's your next video. Don't get AIDS.
Yes.
Try Condom Mania. Fantastic. We got some questions, Chris. Obviously, this podcast is going from strength to strength. So people are wanting to chuck in their two penneth or say hello or ask a question of you, Chris. All we can really do is pile through a load of emails, if that's all right.
Pile through a load of emails. Go for it.
Yes.
Yes, we've got loads of great emails from you guys, and I think it's time we addressed a few. So let's begin diving in.
Massively.
What have you got, Pete?
What I like about it is we've got four emails, the third of which is
only
all in hiragana and katakana and some kanji. And by virtue of the fact that I've gone first, it means that you're going to take the next one and then I'm going to be dealing with the third one. To which
that's
I can
right.
only
I
read...
actually.
All I can read is konnichiwa. That's all I can read.
Really?
In hiragana.
It's basically all in hiragana and katakana, which we discussed that you can read proficiently.
That's very so much not the case. Let's kick off with Tiago's email. Hi, Pete and Chris. What advice would you guys give for anyone wanting to create their own content, either in podcast or video format, YouTube? What do you guys find is the most challenging thing about it?
That's a tough one. I don't actually find... The easiest thing to do is basically keep a pen and paper nearby, or post-it notes, and whenever you have an idea pop into your head, write it down. Mm. What you'll find with most YouTubers is they always have the next, 10 videos ready and lined up to go. I've got the next 3 videos, actually, so I'm not a good example of that. but generally, always have loads of ideas in your mind about what you want to do, and... Don't just think... I mean, what I try to do is not just think about the videos I want to make. I think videos that I kind of want to make. That I think other people would be interested to watch.
Mm.
You know? Don't always just think about what you want to do. Think about what you can teach somebody. What knowledge you have that could be useful to somebody else. Something tangible. The idea in every video I make and hopefully every podcast is you go away having a bit of fun, but also learning something as well. The most challenging thing about it, though, I don't know. What do you think, Pete?
I think
you make a million podcasts.
I make a million podcasts every year. I think when I first joined, I work on a quite popular podcast called The Football Ramble, and one of the main challenges when I first joined that was that they were recording 2 hours worth of content, cutting it down to 1 hour and 10. So I sort of said, look, guys, be regular about it. Do one a week. And be part of people's weeks, be part of people's routine, I suppose. So it is an imposition being part of someone's life, but I think if you can kind of get into a bit of a routine, it helps you. It helps you be creative in a weird way because it forces you. I think sometimes having a time, say you got to get something out by Friday, it forces you to work at that little bit harder. It forces you to even be that little bit more creative. I know that sounds weird, but there's only so many kind of days you can spend in a coffee shop.
Well, yeah, I work well under pressure, so that makes sense.
Hugely. I did very few projects in university, but if I ever did a project at university, it would be done at the last minute. And that's the point at which you suddenly get really interested in the subject matter as well, which is funny. You're like, oh, this is amazing. Who knew?
Yeah, the amount of times I'd finish my university project the night before.
Yeah, hugely.
Buried in a pile of Red Bull cans.
Yeah, definitely.
It was always what I did. It's even now, often I, do videos up until the last minute. I pretty daft with it.
But yeah.
It kind of, under pressure, seems to unleash creativity.
Like a diamond.
Sometimes. I don't know how, I don't know why, it just does. So, yeah.
Well, I hope that answers your question, Tiago.
Yeah, I hope that helps, Tiago, and best of luck if you are going to produce something. Josh says, hey, Chris and Pete, there's been a question that's been bothering me for some time now that I just can't seem to find an answer to anywhere on the internet. I know this isn't the case for either of you, but where do picky people fit in Japan? I believe I'm a pretty bland eater. I don't care for fish or pork. Both seem to be staples in Japan. Thanks. Continue the great work, Josh.
I remember natto, the breakfast kind of rotten soy bean thing that people eat, sticky soy nonsense. Now, I know you're not that big of a fan. I wouldn't say I'm the biggest fan, but I think it is so important to put everything in your gob that is presented in front of you. And I spent my time buying natto from the Japanese supermarket around the corner to train myself into being able to eat it and to appreciate the taste, I suppose.
Bloody hell.
Picky people will probably find it quite difficult to eat in Japan. Yeah, exactly. Well, I think it's important to get a taste for everything and appreciate like the mustard and vinegary flavours to it. And there's always something in some kind of food that you can appreciate. The only one thing that I can't stand, snails. Have you ever had snails, Zach, Chris?
Yeah, they're horrible.
Yeah, they just taste like grass.
Butter and garlic, they still don't work for me.
No, they just taste like grass because that's all they eat. And it's kind of like, certainly where they live anyway. But so I sort of find myself going, I'll have another one. I'll have another set when I'm in a nice restaurant. And I ruin entire meals because I just feel like I have to, you know, get to the bottom of them or appreciate what makes a good snail and what makes a bad snail. But no, that's one of those things that I've still not nailed. But I think when you sort of go around Japan, you're going to find it difficult to find bland food, I think, to a certain extent, unless you just want to eat bowls of rice.
I knew a guy who came and taught English, and he would not touch any food. He got his food exclusively from McDonald's and Pizza Hut, and that was it. And he did that for like a year or two. I don't know how he did it, but he did.
Expensive.
So, I mean, convenience stores you can find most Western foods like crisps or potato chips, peanuts, nuts, fruits, whatever. You can find anything. I wouldn't worry about it.
Oh, yeah.
Depends how picky you are. You can find loads of things without fish in it. You can quite easily survive Japan without eating fish and pork. Mm. I mean, there's lots of American diners, American-style diners as well, so like Denny's or Gusto or Coco's, and they all do American kind of diner style food, like burgers and fries and all that stuff.
Yeah.
My view of America, just burgers and fries.
Burgers and fries.
You can get pretty much most of the sort of food you get back home there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could get by being in Japan without eating any Japanese food, really. I knew another guy, my friend Regan the vegan, who is a vegan. So clever.
That works, doesn't it? Vegan. I mean,
genius.
Nominative determinism.
It took years for me to convince him to have that as his brand name, Regan the Vegan. Anyway, he's Regan the Vegan, and we used to travel around Japan, and he would eat exclusively bananas and peanuts, and he did that for years. So
that's recipe
bananas,
for
peanuts and tofu.
That's recipe for blow-offs, I think, in the car if you're driving around. My God,
no comment. But you'll be fine. You'll be fine, Josh. Just you'll find that it's not all just Japanese food. There is a lot of Western food to be had in Japan. And even if you are fussy, you'll be able to get by. Even more, I think it'd be more worrying if you had an allergy.
Yeah.
You never know what's in the food. Like was it in a podcast recently we dealt with someone, we answered a question about having an allergy for shellfish?
Yeah, certain kinds of shellfish.
I answered that question somewhere, either on a podcast or in a Q&A somewhere.
Mm.
And that's a little bit tricky. The conclusion I came to is just write down your allergy on a bit of card and take that around with you. So when you go in a restaurant, you can show the staff the card of your allergy.
Mm.
That would be more difficult than being picky or fussy, I'd say.
Definitely.
Good luck, Josh.
Just get into ramen. Ramen's delicious. And you can get every
and
dish you could possibly buy has karaage. Is it karaage, the fried chicken?
Yeah, fried chicken. It's like chicken that's been marinated in soy sauce and things, yeah.
And it's delicious. Indeed. And if you like fried chicken, just eat that every meal. That's what I usually do.
Yeah, get a family bar. Dive into some fried chicken.
Exactly.
That's all I advocate. All right, go on then, Pete. Do your Japanese. Next question.
So the next question... konnichiwa. You
can't read it, can you?
Cuketa said something or other. What is the top? No. No! You're going to have to do this, Chris, my friend.
I'll better help. So he says, Konnichiwa. Pito-san no akcento wa sugoku kowai kara. Watashi wa zenzen nemasen. Arigatou gozaimasu, Austin. Basically, hello, Pete, your accent is very scary. I definitely can't sleep. I really can't sleep. Thank you very much, Austin.
Is that all he wrote? My God.
That's not even a question. It's just a little insult in Japanese.
So that's the thing, though, with katakana. So he's gone for... P with a little circle. So P...
Pito.
Pito.
Pito-san
now, no. Now, so when I was a kid... My little sister, who's like 2 years younger than me, when she was a little baby, she used to say Pita, Pita. So I was thinking, if I was going to write my name in katakana, I would have gone for Pita, rather than Pito.
Pita.
Pita-san.
Pito.
So
yeah, we call you Pete, don't we? Pete Donaldson.
Pita, yeah.
Pete.
Yeah, good point.
Makes more sense, I think.
Yeah.
Pete Donaldson.
But it's that ambiguity that confuses me, where you're sort of looking at a Romaji a borrowed word, and you're sort of going, I've got no idea what that could
the
be.
The trick is, if you're looking at katakana, a borrowed word, it's probably a word that you'll recognise if you hear it. So the trick is to say it
outright. Just say it, yeah.
So we've got pito, pito, ah, oh, pito, ah, oh, it's me. Maybe that would work, I don't know.
If you're British and you walk past a Uniqlo, or wherever they've got Uniqlos, I think they have in Europe, don't they? Uniqlo. Yeah. The actual sign in a very highly stylized version of katakana is Unikuro. Unikuro.
Unikuro. Yeah,
it is. Which is very exciting.
Trendy.
Trendy!
Trendy like super dry.
Super dry!
But yeah, your accent is... it's not just scary, it's incredibly scary.
Well...
So he says, Konnichiwa, Pito-san no... accent regarding your accent, sugoku kowai kara. It's very scary. Therefore, watashi wa zenzen nemasen. Regarding me, I definitely can't sleep.
That's your business.
Anything you'd like to say to Austin? In return,
if my accent is scary, why do they put all of the British-based call centres in the northeast? Because we are trustworthy. I once went for an audition for television continuity job, basically someone who links the programmes together and says, coming up later on, we've got Geordie Shaw. And the man
I thought
who...
I heard your voice on ITV.
ITV2, and they basically said in my audition, Pete, basically we want someone who's got a stupid-sounding accent. And I'm not proud enough not to take their money. So I got the job. It was a bloody well-paid job. And I was happy to be insulted on that occasion.
It's funny how the northern... Well, I wonder what it is about the northern accent that makes it sound so friendly.
They say...
And soothing and trustworthy.
They say it's because they sound... Because my accent is so kind of... we're kind of, anybody in like America or anywhere like that, we're kind of like hicks. We sound like kind of people from the deep south, so they're not necessarily... they're not necessarily kind of gifted with the image that we're intelligent. So people find us more trustworthy because we think, or people think, or people regard us, or regard our accents as being from people who wouldn't be clever enough to trick them. So that's why they put the call centres there, because...
it's kind of a negative-sounding reason.
Oh, it's massively negative, massively negative. But, yeah, but they don't put them in Liverpool, because Liverpoolians, or rather the accent of Liverpool, historically, certainly in the 80s, had this reputation of being, you know, everyone's on the steel, everyone's stealing car radios and stuff, which is ridiculous and grotesque and horrible, but that was just the way of the world, really. So you don't hear a lot of Scouse voices on the radio or the television, which is sad because it's a beautiful accent. It really is.
But good for people from Hartlepool.
Great for
get
me.
That economy going,
mate. I'm coining
voice savers and presenters.
We got an email from Kyoto Cat, which I really, really like. Hey guys, I'm enjoying the videos and the podcasts. Well, I've got nothing to do with the videos and everything to do with the podcasts. I'm glad you've included the podcast email address in the information. The reason I wanted the email was to say I found it hard to catch it when you said it on the podcast, and I thought others may have the same problem. Now the situation had changed. I think you'll get more mail. Thank you, Kyoto Cat. No, it's just like you did something bad, but then you rectified it.
You put the podcast email address on the actual, on iTunes or wherever.
Wow. I did do that, yeah. If you hadn't noticed, Chris.
Kyoto Cat, how could you not hear the email address? Maybe it's your accent, Pete. Even though I've said the email address most of the time, I think. So.
Oh, what? Hang on. Are you trying to say that this is aimed towards me? And my... I think it might be your accent, sir, if you don't mind me saying.
How dare you?
I can't remember the last time I said the podcast address. You always say it on the way out.
It's true, isn't it?
On the way out the door.
Oh. Maybe I say it too fast. AbroadInJapanPodcast@gmail.com. Oh, that's fairly obvious. Right, AbroadJapanPodcast@gmail.com.
We'll get there, won't
Send
we?
Send us an email. Is it an easy email address to hear? I don't know. But
oh, man. Oh. I sent Chris a little video of the TV show Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I think it is, a TV show, a comedy show about... about the police, and Terry Crews, who I think is a bit of a national treasure. Do the US have national treasures? I think he might be a national treasure. But he
Barack
says...
Barack Obama and Donald Trump?
What, national treasures?
National treasures. different people around the country.
Yeah, I think so. I think definitely. But Terry Crews at one point says, abroad in Japan. And so I send it to him. I was like, there's your next shout-out.
I actually thought you got a shout-out from the guy from the TV show. In the same line as Bryan Cranston.
I
was disappointed when I found out you
never mind
found that phrase.
Well, let's get out of here, mainly because I really need to use the toilet. we'll be back next week for more Abroad in Japan fun.
Yes, thanks, guys. No matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, thanks for listening. Do drop us an email if you have any questions. We're going to be doing some more podcast episodes dedicated to your questions because we've got so many. And we want to answer them and help you in any way we can. But for now, have a great week, and we'll see you next time, next Wednesday, same time, same place. Have a good one, guys.
Remember, the email address is gmail.com.
Exactly. And have fun in the bathroom, Pete. We can't end it like that.
No, but we are. Bye.
Bye.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.